You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. It's Brighton and Kempton on Monday afternoon. Leicester and Carlisle provide the action in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. Yes, nap's going in a little bit better than usual and, cheerful.
Good. It's been a while since I've spoken to you on the racing podcast. John, how have you been?
Well, I've been vegetating in Cumbria, watching it rain. I'd like to rain a bit more at Carlisle tomorrow evening, but in there announcing it's good to firm.
Yes. There was a horse, wasn't there, that you wanted it to rain for?
Yes, there is an old veteran called Edas who will be 14 in January, trained by Tommy Cuthbert, and he's running awfully well at the moment, but he does need soft ground, so I'm hoping that the official going forecast for Carlisle at the moment is a little bit inaccurate.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll get a bit of rain there, John. Let's, before we get stuck into the action on Monday, though, let's take a quick look back at last week, and we'll start with Saturday's action at York, the big race of the meeting, the Ebor, surprise winner, Litigant coming home in front.
Yeah, a wonderful day for Joe Tweet, I think that's how you pronounce him. I mean, he's been training basically down in the south, a lot of his horses running on the all weather at Lingfield and at Kempton, with just moderate success. And to get Litigant to win a race like the Ebor, the most valuable handicap in Europe of its type, and a really tremendous prize, it is a feather in his cap, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And also, this horse hadn't run for 491 days, I think, is the actual time limit, and it was a remarkable training performance. Had not been with Joe Tweet for all that long, I think he'd been with Seamus Durack before that, but was a worthy winner at 33-1, and one feels that probably one or two little bets were made, because, you know, in a way, 33-1 was a little bit short for such a surprise winner. But won well and beat a very good field indeed, excellently ridden by Oisin Murphy. But the old whip bands are just adding up a bit for Oisin. You know, he marched his way through at Sandown about 6 weeks ago and was put down for something like 14 days for careless riding. Yeah. Now, admittedly, that wasn't use of the whip, but obviously the stewards are looking out for this really top-grade profile young jockey, and he may have to be a bit careful. I don't know, you, Mark, this question of whip and horses possibly being disqualified when the jockeys disobey the rules. How do you stand on that?
Well, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I suppose if you go to the letter of the law, they've broken the rules. So, but it's tricky to throw them out, isn't it?
It's an awful grey matter,
Yeah. Isn't
it? A really grey matter. And as you say, in this case, I just think Washim was desperately keen to make certain that Litigant kept going inside the last furlong and didn't just drop away. So, you know, he'd probably already used the persuader a number of times, so he'd gone over the top. But I wouldn't think of disqualifying the horse in that case. I think it's got to be really blatant,
yeah.
With a tremendous sort of that rat-a-tat-tat consistently inside the final furlong and just win by a short nose or something of that nature for it to be considered. So, you know, I think Oisin will have to look carefully, but I don't feel that there was any case for disqualifying Litigant.
No, it would be impossible to marshal as well, wouldn't they? Because the people that had a bet if their horse was disqualified would be terrible. And if the jockey was scared to use the whip because he didn't want to get the horse disqualified, he'd then stop riding. And if it got beat, then there'd be an upcry that way.
Absolutely. Mark, it's complete chaos. You know, it might be unsatisfactory, but I think you've got to stick with what you might call common sense ruling by stewards. And on the whole, they are pretty good at it. I mean, they note that a jockey has used his whip more than he should have done, or in an improper manner, and then discipline the rider accordingly.
Yeah, great story for Joe Tweet as well. I mean, the runner-up there trained by Willie Mullins in the shape of Wicklow Brave, Fields of Athenry trained by Edna O'Brien, all the big trainers there. And
absolutely, it's a tremendous
story, isn't it?
I mean, you know, a real super day for Joe Tweet, and let's hope that one or two owners look up and think, you know, this chap can train. Let's give him a chance and send him a few decent horses.
Let's just mention a few of the other big winners on the Saturday at York as well. Ajaya winning the Gimcracks Stakes, boosting the form from France beforehand looks pretty good, and proved to be, and the slight step up in trip suited.
Yeah, absolutely right, and continued Willie Haggis's splendid form.
Yeah, he's had a great week, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, fairy tale week, and Pat Cosgrave, and as you say, Ajaya had run well at Maison Lafitte, had got a definite profile to go well in that Gimcrack, and he won the race extremely well. I think, it's been a triumphant week for William Haggis and Pat Cosgrave.
Yeah, David O'Mara as well, top trainer at York for a number of years. He managed to get a big winner on the card as well. He had the Strensel Stakes winner in Mondial East.
Yeah, yes, I was rather annoyed with that one because there was such a rush here in the studio that in fact we didn't get a preview of that race. And I thought Mondial East had a marvellous chance. He is a horse who cost a lot of money, had been a bit disappointing in big handicaps earlier in the season, but had never run a bad race. This looked an excellent opportunity for him. I was longing to shout out Mondial East at the top of my voice, but the race had begun, and of course in typical fashion David O'Meara waved the magic wand again, and Mondial East won. Good ride by Danny Tuthope, very strong in the finish, that man.
Yes. Anything else stand out to you throughout the whole festival, John?
Well, yes, I think that was a tremendous win for Mecca's Angel. There's absolutely no question about that. A really good training performance by Michael Dodds. Excellent patient ride by Paul Mulrennan, who was very emotional basically after the win. A Group 1, the Dunthorpe, of course, a real plus for him. But he's loved this filly right from the start, and to win the Nunthorpe in the manner that she did was a tremendous effort by both trainer and jockey. Of course, the ground, to be fair, had come right for her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have run, I don't think, if it had been, good or on the slightly faster side of good. She'd have been taken out because Michael's very patient with her. And that would have opened the door for Acapulco to, make all the running and score. The fact that the ground was just turned softish favoured Mecca's Angel. Still, great run, and that was, for me, the best win of the week, actually. Should have napped her. I napped Clever Cookie because, I was torn between the two. Tremendous win. And I suppose you mentioned Golden Horn. My question about the Judd Monte is that I didn't think it was really necessary for there to be a pacemaker in the first case. And the pacemaker tactics seemed to me to go wrong, and Frankie was left with a very difficult question to what to do. And, disappointing that the great champion was beaten, but tremendous ride by Sylvester de Sousa on Arabian Queen.
Yeah, I was talking to Craig about this on the podcast yesterday. He has a tremendous knack of just reading races right, doesn't he, Sylvester de Sousa?
Yes, you see, he did. He was the one jockey. There wasn't a big field, of course, but he was the one jockey. You thought, this pacemaker is going very fast. He's going to tow me nicely into the race. And in a way, might have let Golden Horn go and get a bit closer early on. But I think there is a suggestion, and possibly a wise one, that Golden Horn might have been just a little bit over the top.
I would agree with that, because his turn of foot wasn't there, really, was it?
No.
He didn't quite quicken like he normally does, and he's had a lot of hard races in this season so far. So, yeah, I think that maybe contributed a little bit. I think he might have got out of trouble if it was Maybe a little bit earlier in the season, and something similar would have happened.
Yes, and also quite a long break since his last run. So, you know, not a disgrace, but a little bit disappointing. And York was mixed with results, and that was, of course, one of the low parts of the mix.
Yeah. Anything else, John, to talk about before we move on?
I think, you know, York's over for another year. It means jumping will be with us in a big way soon, just as Ledger and Champions Day and that kind of thing. But my goodness, the time is going.
Let's move on then. Monday's racing is up next, and John's got four races for us, so we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we've got four races to look at. We start at Kempton in their 5.15, and this one is a class four handicap over a mile and a half. We've got eight runners here. Who's caught your eye in there, John?
Interesting little race this at Kempton. I thought Lucky Henry would go fairly well in the contest. Clive Cox and Megan Nichols. Worthwhile mentioning, I think. Megan turned professional, claiming the £7 here, based with Clive Cox. Had a good winner up at Carlisle in the ladies' only night, and it'd be interesting to see how she goes. I thought Lucky Henry will give her a fair chance here. Ran third at Leicester last time out in a race won by Charlie Hills' Zimbana, and I was on the second here. I remember in the podcast English Summer, and English Summer actually went on to win the next race, so the form is not too bad, and I think Lucky Henry will act well here at Kempton. Talking about acting well, Kempton, though, Mark, Abel Dash is a horse who loves the track. His stats read 1-1-1-2 in the last four outings at Kempton. Was beaten an awful long way on the turf at Newbury last time, out over 20 lengths. But, my goodness, he does like Kempton. Then we've got Prescience, who definitely has a chance in this race for Richard Hannon, but I didn't much like the third at Lingfield behind Moonlight Sonata and Libard, who was beaten at Bath on a Saturday evening. The last one, and that's going to be my selection, is Laterton. Now, Laterton is trained by Martin Mead, and one or two listeners to William Hill Radio will know I'm pretty keen on Martin Mead as a trainer. And Laterton did actually win very well at Ripon three outings ago. Since then, he's been down the field, but in pretty decent races at Newbury and Haydock, and both those two were on firm ground, Mark. I think Kempton will suit Laterton much better. I narrow it down to Abel Dash and Laterton, and I'm going to go for Laterton.
Laterton, the selection for Lord Budden, then in the 5.15 at Kempton. Moving to Brighton next for their 5.30, and this one is a class 5 handicap over, well, it's almost 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, 8 of them in the lineup here, John. And I suppose we should start with Under Siege, given that he's only had the 3 starts, one the latest of them, and open to further progress.
I think it's the one horse in the race, Mark, who is open to further progress. Use that awful phrase, a work in progress, a phrase I hate. But did, in fact, Under Siege win very well at Hamilton. And he beat a horse of David O'Meara's called Second Foot with Richard Fahey Animal called Exton, who has a bit disappointing, admittedly, back in third. But Second Foot is a decent sort. This is a very poor race at Brighton, and I think there's every opportunity for Under Siege to make every yard of the running. And, of course, the York Man of the Week, Pat Cosgrave, is in the saddle here for the Simcock Yard. What possibly will undo Under Siege? Tarchi has obviously got a chance for Seamus Durek, and Rob Hornby, really good young jockey, just beaten at Sandown on Jack of Diamonds, but an apprentice well worth thinking about. One of Sella did Tarchi last time out at Leicester. Not that bad. Second horse was Johnny B. Good, who has run decently in handicaps and was well expected to win at Leicester. So that Sella was not desperate, and Tarchi showed a certain amount of guts and were under siege to run just a little bit behind Parr, then Tarchi, I think, will be there or thereabouts. Evident was second last time out, but in a very poor race at Lingfield. And Port Laoghaire has run quite well at Brighton, but does seem to lack a gear. So it looks as though Under Siege really ought to win on Hamilton form.
Under Siege then for Lord Budden in the 5:30, moving to Carlisle for the final two races. The 6:40 at Carlisle is the one that we look at first. This one is a Phillies handicap over five, nearly six furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older. 10 of them in the lineup here, John. And back on home turf for yourself. So who do you like in there?
Yeah, this is a competitive little race. I've been watching Jambo's Girl for a while. Knocking at the Door, the filly has. Ran quite well at Ponte a couple of times. And, you know, might take a hand here, but hasn't won for a while. There'll be quite a good pace on, I think, here, Mark, because we've got Honeysuckle Lil in the contest for Tim Easterby and Rachel Richardson. She's really making a name for herself. Rachel, I thought, rode an excellent race at York on Presney for the Easterby stable, making all the running and keeping the horse beautifully balanced in the closing stages. She gets on well with Honeysuckle Lil, who has herself scored a couple of times, but was disappointing at Nottingham last time out. Might be just going a little bit over the top. Then we've got Chucky's Lass in this contest. I mentioned Chucky's Lass simply because she's trained by Keith Dalgleish, and particularly at Carlisle, Keith's horses have been absolutely, you know, biting the bullet and winning time and time again. Chucky's Lass hasn't won for a long time, though, and she's got to improve, but she is a course and distance winner. And that leaves us with the horse that I like and I'm going to go for, which is Percy's Gal. Now, Percy's Gal is trained by Karen Tutty and Gemma Tutty in the saddle, and they've made a habit of winning races at Carlisle this season, Mark, and Percy's Gal is 2 out of 3 at Carlisle and didn't run at all badly last time out at Southwell, and Be Lucky boosted the form a bit by winning at Pontefract after that Southall second. So the form looks pretty good for Percy's Gal. The only thing which worries me is that she is drawn 10, and that means on the outside at Carlisle, and that can be a slight disadvantage. But she does seem to do her best work in the closing stages, so hopefully she'll overcome the outside draw, and Percy's Gal will be the choice.
Percy's Gal and for Lord Budden in the 6:40, and we finish in the 7:40 at Carlisle. This one is a class 5 handicap over almost a mile. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 13 here, John, and several of these arrive in winning form. Agaki, Shamahart, I'm Super 2, Salma Gondis, Mr. Cool Cash and Ingleby Spring all won last time, John, so a real open race.
Yeah, it's a really open race, very competitive stuff. It's been competitive at Carlisle throughout the summer. You would say the quality of the racing is not that good, but my goodness, the betting has been very keen indeed. Algaki won well at the last Carlisle meeting, made all the running under Fergal Lynch, who had 3 winners that day, riding very well, Fergal Lynch, and he judged the fractions absolutely right. No reason why Algaki should not go close again. Then you mentioned Shamahart. Shamahart was a good winner at Carlisle, and Jeff Harker trains this horse. But my sort of experience of Shamahart is that basically he doesn't tend to win 2 races in quick succession. So I just put a slight pencil through Shamahart. I'm Super 2. Ooh, I'm angled about I'm Super 2. Got up in the last stride under Philippa Tutty at Beverly to beat Outlaw Torn, ridden, of course, by my albatross Simon Walker. When Outlaw Torn went into the lead in that race inside the final furlong, I thought he cannot be beaten now. But he was mugged by I'm Super 2. I have my doubts whether I'm Super 2 can do it again. So that leaves us with a couple of others. Pivot Man could go well at a price in this race. Didn't run at all badly in a better race at Ponte last time out. Graham Gibbons set Pivot Man alight, turning for home. Went something like 8 lengths clear, but had gone just too early and collapsed in the final furlong and finished third. Ridden with a little more patience, Pivot Man could go well. But the horse I'm going to go for is Ingleby Spirit, a 22-1 winner at Thirsk for Richard Fahey last time out. But the form of that race is already beginning to work out quite well. That was a much improved performance by Ingleby Spirit. And if you can just build on it a little bit, I think he's good enough to win this contest. So Ingleby Spirit will be the choice.
Ingleby Spirit then for Lord Wooden in the 7:40 at Carlisle. As always, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Well, in the first one, the 5:15 Kempton, we're going for Martin Mead's Laterton. Then off to Brighton for the 5:30. Hopefully Under Siege will make all the running. Two races at Carlisle. In the 6:40, I want Percy's Gal to overcome draw 10. And in the 7:40 at Carlisle, I thought Ingleby Spring could score for Richard Fahey.
Superb. Thank you very much, John. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Lord John Budden on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Sam Turner, Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley will be the team in the studio. It's Brighton and Kempton on Monday afternoon, Leicester and Carlisle in the evening, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.